back. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness and your mercy, Lord God. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, because you have blessed us to stand. Having done all to stand, Lord, we declare that we stand there for, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, because you told us in the world we would have tribulation, we would have struggles. Oh, Lord, we would have sorrows, but you said, be of good cheer. You have overcome the world, Lord God. So we thank you that we are overcomers. We thank you, Lord God, as we go into this new lesson, the battle plan for prayer. Lord, I pray that our hearts are ready, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would penetrate into our hearts, Lord. By your Holy Spirit, you would give us revelation in your word, Lord God, that we would be stronger. Oh, Lord, that we would become those overcomers, oh God, of anything that the enemy would shoot at us, Lord God, that we would be ready, Lord God. And we thank you and we praise you and we expect it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please get your handout. Hopefully everybody got a handout. There's a new handout for the battle plan of prayer. We're going to start today, and I left my book at home. Can I borrow yours for a second, sure. Terry? And this is the book that we are going to go into. We finished War Room, guys, last week. I know it was Easter Sunday, but we finished War Room. We just had a small group, a round table discussion, and boy, did we have a good time. So we finished up War Room, and now we're going into the companion book, The Battle Plan for Prayer, guys. And as I said, put on your seatbelts, get ready, because I'm telling you, we're taking back what the devil has stolen and more, and more territory in the name of Jesus. I was playing that song, Standing on Your Promises, and I love the chorus of that song, because we're going to see what we're praying for. We believe the impossible. Oh, stronger than we've ever been. We are standing on his promises. Okay, I promise you something. You might have to check on me a bit, you know. But I'm telling you, if you stand on his promises, you stand on his word, you can believe what you're praying for. You can believe the supernatural. And God can do it no matter what it is. So we're going to go into the introduction for the battle plan of prayer, just looking at your lesson. As I said, we're in the book, Battle Plan for Prayer. And you can get the book from Amazon. And Virginia Fox has been so kind to be our Amazon liaison for our class. So if you have trouble ordering from Amazon yourself, getting the book, then see Virginia and she'll help you out getting the book and bringing it to class for you. And I've seen it at Amazon as low as 25 cents all the way up to $12.99. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Though the used ones, you can get some used ones for 25 cents all the way up to $12.99 for a brand new book. So, yeah. And Virginia was saying that she usually will get the used book, so to bring down your cost, you know, all the way up to getting a brand new book if you'd like to. I like to mark up my books, but I do appreciate when people have read it and marked it up too, and I'm looking at what they thought was really outstanding. So anyway, so we're looking forward to that. Spanky, did you get a handout? Are there any more handouts back there? Are they all gone already? There's one. I see one. There's still hand. Oh, you've got one. Okay. Got one. Okay. So as we start on battle plan of prayer in the introduction on this, we want to go over the symbol that's on the book. There's a symbol, and that symbol I put in your handout, and it's the symbol of the crosshair symbol, and every part of that symbol has a meaning, and as I was going through the meaning of the symbol, boy, it was just so powerful that I had to just kind of write down just the different aspects, because it really talks about the Christian walk and the, you know, and what we need to be, where our mindset needs to be, where our heart set needs to be when it comes to getting into prayer and winning the battle. You know, because I don't know about you, but, you know, at some point I got tired of not winning the battle. Like you're just, you know, just banging on a wall and not getting anywhere. So this whole lesson, this whole book is about the battle plan for prayer. You've got to have a battle plan. I'm telling you, because the enemy is clever. He's cunning. But God has overcome. We have greater power, but we need to know the strategies that are necessary to win the battle. So as we talk about the crosshair symbol, first of all, we talk about the cross. And it says the cross in the middle of this symbol reminds us that successful prayer begins with a relationship with God through Jesus Christ and faith in his shed blood on the cross. And that's from the book. It begins there. Okay, that it begins with the relationship. And we're going to really just kind of harp on this relationship and pound on how important this relationship is. Your lesson says you must understand the relevance of the cross and the Savior who died there for you. This is the foundation of true relationship with Jesus Christ. If you are serious about battling in prayer, you must be serious about your relationship with Christ. Can I say that again? If you are serious about battling in prayer for your family, for your loved ones, you need to be serious about your relationship with Christ. If you have resolved to just go through the motions or using Christ as a raincoat, you're only praying when things are hard and when you have troubles, then you will falter in the battle and will not see the success through prayer that could occur in your life. So you got to get past that. If you're just going through the motions, well, I just come to church because my mom comes to church. I come to church because it's a good thing to do. I come to church because, oh, I just like the way the singing. Oh, I just, you know, and that's all it is. You're just going through the motions. Mm-hmm. Then you got an issue. Mm-hmm. Okay, you got to get past that because we're about relationship. Mm-hmm. And I want you to think about the relationship with people that you love as we're talking here. How would you like it if somebody just went through the motions with you? You know, your kids just say, love you, Mom. Thank you, Mom. Give me, Mom. Do this for me, Mom. Love you, Mom. I mean, and didn't really mean it. How would you feel? You feel that this is just a superficial relationship. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ is looking for the deepest of relationship that you can have with a person. Your relationship with him goes beyond your relationship with anybody else. Think about the deepest, the person you love the most on planet Earth. Just think about the people you love the most. Mm-hmm. Your relationship with Jesus goes deeper than that. That's what he's looking for. That's where he can take you to in a relationship. Some of you have never even known that type of relationship, you know. But with Jesus, you can know that type of relationship. You can take your guards down and you can let him just really come into your life and let him really have that relationship with you. Jesus said in your lesson, it says from John 14:6, it says, Jesus said unto him, I am the only way to God and the real truth and the real life. No one comes to the Father but through me. No one comes. I don't care what you've heard. I don't care what other religions may say. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the foundation of the truth of prayer, is that no one comes to the Father but through Jesus Christ. That's why relationship with him is paramount. If you want to access the Father, if you want to access God, you must go through Jesus Christ. Amen. Relationship with him is paramount to successful prayer. The greater your relationship with him, the better your prayers are going to be. The more access you'll find to the Father, the greater understanding. Folks, I know what I'm talking about. I remember when my prayers were just superficial and I was just saying it, you know, and I was just going through the motion. And boy, I'm so glad God didn't let me stay there, man. He just took me through stuff. So I was on my face crying. I mean, on the floor of my face crying before him and just really building that relationship, because my relationship grew as I went through things. As I went through hurts and I went through losses and I went through things. But my relationship, as people left me and people betrayed me, oh man, for some reason, that's where my relationship kind of took off and grew, because there were times when there was nobody there, you know, nobody was there. And sometimes it wasn't that people didn't want to be there, it's just that people didn't have access to me for one reason or another. You know, my family was all in Georgia and I was all by myself. You know, my kids, they couldn't get it. They don't understand. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you're all alone, even though you got people around you, they just don't get it. So when you go through all of these things, that's when that relationship with Jesus took place, because he was there whispering to me as I was crying my eyes out and, you know, feeling lost and desperate. That's when Jesus whispered, I'm here. I'm here. I've got you. It's going to be all right because I'm going to make it all right. You know, when you didn't know what to do, that's when that relationship really takes place. So God, you got to get this relationship. It's going to be so important. The next verse is from Ephesians 3:12, and it says, in whom we have boldness and confident access. Boldness, you need to underline that part. We have boldness and confident access through faith in him. That is, our Father gives us sufficient courage to freely and openly approach God through Christ. Boy, you got to understand what Christ did, because God is holy. And if you saw what the children of Israel had to go through just to have their sins taken care of, you know, I mean, the priest had to go in there and the priest had to go in there and the priest actually had to sew bells on the bottom of their robe. So if their sins weren't taken care of, when they went to the Holy of Holies, God would strike them down because you're coming in my presence and you haven't repented. And that's why they had those bells, so they could hear if they fell to the ground. And they had a rope tied to their foot because nobody was going in there after them. They just pulled them on out. Hey, Peter didn't make it. Let me just pull him on out. Because he was holy. That's how holy God was. And we couldn't just come up in his face, you know, because of our sin. He's holy. He couldn't even stand to look at us and for us to come up in his presence. That's the way it was. But when Jesus came, oh my goodness. And when Jesus came, let me finish. When Jesus came, he changed everything. He changed absolutely everything so that we could go in his presence. Do you guys get that? You got to understand. See, I'm getting excited because I was getting so excited as I was doing this lesson because I was thinking about the power of the cross and what the cross did for us. So now we can come up in his face. We can come up in his presence because only because of the blood of Jesus. And that's why he says, I'm the only way. You are not going to come up, access the Father unless you come through me. And if you don't come through me, then the Father can't, that's not going to happen. So as your relationship with Christ grows, you will develop a confidence as you go into prayer. You know, you need to be confident. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but I wasn't confident when I went into prayer. You know, just not like, okay, something people do to make them feel better. You know, they pray because it makes them feel better, makes them feel good. But as your relationship with Jesus grows, as you see how involved he is in your life, because he's involved right now, you just don't see it. You're taking it for granted. He does so much for us that we take for granted. But once you get that relationship with Christ growing, boy, it will. You can just grow. Vida, pick up a handout right there at the table. Right there. Pick up a table. I mean a table. Don't pick up the table. Pick up a handout. And so as your relationship with Christ grows, you develop a confidence as you go into prayer. You go in there, as the Bible says, with bold confidence. I didn't say that. The Bible says, did you get to a place where you go with boldness? Because you go in there like, yeah, I know Jesus. Jesus tight. You know, I'm going in. Yeah, okay. You have a problem. Okay, I'm going to go talk to Jesus because me and Jesus tight. You know how it is when you're around a friend that you know has your back? That's how you'll be going in. See, right now we're just kind of, well, Jesus is kind of, I know he's God and I know he died for me, but like, who is he really? What is he really about? You know, and I'm just being honest. That's the way I was. Okay, mama loved him. Mama talked to him about him a lot, but I don't know. I know he's good and I know he died for us, but I really don't know him. All I know is that he died for me. Yes, I've accepted him, but I really, really don't know him. See, because you accept it doesn't mean you know him. See, that's why, he knows you completely, but you don't know him.
That's right.
But as you grow to know him, when you go into prayer, you can go in with confidence. As you come to know his heart, you will know how to ask for what you need and what to ask for. Because we don't even know what to ask for. The Bible says it. The Bible says you don't even know how to ask. You don't even know how to pray as you ought. So the Holy Spirit has to make intercession for you because you don't even know what to ask for.
Amen.
You know, because we'd be asking for all kind of crazy stuff. We'd be asking for stuff that'll kill us. Amen. And other people. Amen. If God said yes to all of our prayers, half the population of the earth would be gone. I'm so glad he says no to some stuff. You know, because God does says no. God answers prayer. Sometimes the answer is no, I'm not going to do that. Because that would hurt you. Or that would hurt another person. So no, I don't answer that. I don't know if y'all ever saw that movie, Bruce Almighty, years ago, where Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey was in that movie, and he was God, that was played by Morgan Freeman, said he'd let Bruce be God for a day or so. And so Bruce started getting all these emails as prayer requests came in as emails. And there were so many, he was overwhelmed. So he just pushed yes for all the prayer requests. And then he just went back to sleep. He got up and he went out and the world was in chaos. The world, I mean, it was like all this craziness was going on in the world. So I thank God that he does not say yes to all our prayers, you know, that... We don't know what to ask for. You will come to a place of embracing humility in his spirit as you get that relationship with Jesus going, and it comes with prayer. It comes with reading his word. You come to a place of embracing his humble spirit as you go into prayer. You go in confidently, you go in grateful, you go in confident and you go in boldly, but you also go in with humility and you go in being grateful. As your relationship with Christ grows, you become more grateful. Because I wasn't always that grateful, guys. I'm going to tell you. I took so much for granted. You know, I'm breathing his air, eating his food, living on his planet, and I never thanked him for it. I just thought, okay, that's what you're supposed to do. No, not so. It's just by his grace that he keeps us. And as I've grown in him, I've realized all that he does for me every day. The fact that I woke up this morning did not have to happen. People, there are people that did not wake up this morning. There are people that didn't make it. As I always have told you over and over again, the world clock shows that 1 million people die every week. Wow. Every week. So God, I thank you. Amen. That I'm here. You know, so there's so much that as I've grown and I've come to know God, I'm so grateful for everything. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the roof over my head. I'm thankful that I have a vehicle. I thank you, Lord. I mean, I just thank you for so... Lord, I thank you for the sun rising in the east. I mean, but that's a biggie for me. I'm like, that sun does not have to rise in the east. And if you know science, and I keep saying how we're on this ball that it... The center of the ball is molten lava, and then there's soil and rock that we live on, and then it's revolving around a ball of fire, and we don't burn up or freeze to death. Thank you, Jesus. So grateful. As I learned, I said, Lord, I'm so grateful that you keep us. Oh, I you know, we're enveloped in an atmosphere, a blanket. Do you know God has blanketed the earth with a warmth? An atmosphere. If you've ever seen rocket ships go to the moon, they have to break through the atmosphere. That's that burning. This is burning blanket that he has around us that the rockets, when they go through, they have to break through that atmosphere. And it's like it shakes them, you know, as they go through, you know, because it's so powerful. And it's a blanket that he put around planet Earth. Amen. That blanket is not around Jupiter, I'll tell you right now. They've already know that. It's not around Mars. I think Mars got a little bit of blanket, you know. It's not around Venus, but around Earth.
Yes.
Oh, boy, life-sustaining Earth. You know, oh, boy, Lord, the more I realize, the more I'm grateful for all that you have done for us. So we go into prayer, and we're confident, and we're grateful. And this happens as you grow. You know, you can be thankful. Thankful is something that just comes from your lips. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But grateful. Grateful comes from here. When you're grateful. And that's what happens when you grow in Christ. You become grateful. I don't even know how it happened. I didn't even ask to be grateful. But it just happens as you grow in your relationship, you learn to be grateful. Mm-hmm. And that curbs that complaining spirit that we live in so much, you know. Yes. We complain, especially in this country. Boy, I just get so, you know, I've learned, you know, I just said, Lord, I can't say anything about my brother and sister Americans because I used to be the same way. Just complaining, there's nothing right on. They didn't do that and they didn't do that. I'm like, oh my God. But I learned to be grateful. Amen. He did that for me, so I'm not complaining so much. I'm learning that he does so much. The next point in your lesson says, he is the exact image. He is the exact living image, the essential manifestation of the unseen God, the visible representation of the invisible, the firstborn, the preeminent one, the sovereign, the originator of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created and exist through him. That is, by his activity and for him. And he himself existed and is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I love that part. Amen. All things hold together. And I have to go back to a science lesson again, folks. Just to excuse me, I gotta give you guys a little science lesson, because if you ever look at anything on planet Earth, and you look at it through a microscope, and if you had an electron microscope, so that you could see it down to its basic particles, you would see that it's an atom just going around a nucleus. I mean, it just amazes me. When I learned this, I'm like, what? Everything is made out of these little particles that just rotate around. They're not even connected by anything that you can see. They just rotate around and they make everything. The table, this body, this Bible, everything is made out of those atoms. And when I read that scripture, by him, I'm like, well, how do those atoms hold each other together? You know, they talk about, oh, they have a magnetism and all of this. And I'm like, but the Bible says by him, all things hold together. Yes. You know, and I know it's got to be him, because the table, myself and the table are made out of the same thing. But I can touch the table and I come back and I don't have a piece of table on me. The table stayed the table and Karen stayed Karen. So I know he holds Karen together and he holds the table together. See, that's what I'm like. I'm like, see, you all can say what you want, but I know that when he says here, and in him all things hold together. I love that, because it speaks of so much that holds us together. He is the controlling cohesive force of the universe, folks. He is also the head, the life source, and the leader of the body, the church. Hallelujah. He's our leader. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will occupy the first place. He will stand supreme and be preeminent in everything. Oh, this is who Christ is. He is the ruler of everything. You guys, we have to get who we serve. You have to understand who we're serving and who he is. And then verse 19, I love this part. For it pleased the Father. As great as Christ is, it pleased the Father for the fullness of deity, the sum of his essence, all his perfection, powers, and attributes to dwell permanently in him, the Son. This is the Son that died for us, okay? And through the intervention of the Son to reconcile all things to himself, making peace with believers through the blood of his cross. Hallelujah. See all the greatness. We just talked about the greatness of Christ. And then it pleased the Father to put everything on him so that through his intervention, we could be reconciled back to the Father. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And that's Colossians 1:15-20. I tell you, in the Amplified, boy, that tell you, that breaks it down. You could just spend a week in Bible study on that one right there, you know, just talking about just all that he is. This is why you must go through Christ. This is why you must go through Christ. If people are telling you there are many ways to heaven, they are lying to you, okay? I'm going to tell you, they are lying to you. There is only one way, and it is through Jesus Christ. This is why you must have relationship with him to succeed in answers from the Father. You cannot go around Christ trying. You can't go around Christ trying to get to God. Some people try, I'm going to go around Christ. No, you can't go around Christ. If you just read Colossians, if you read Colossians 1, you'll understand why you cannot go around Christ to get to God. Because everything is in Christ. It pleased the Father to do it that way, that he is our reconciler. There is only one way to success in prayer, and that is through Christ. Christ is the one. So where are you on this? You got, again, I'm pointing the questions back to ourselves. Where am I with Christ? You know, is he some mystical, kind of distant person? Or do you have relationship with him? Do you come up in God's face wanting favors and blessings as you cast the Son's blood to the floor or cast the Son's blood aside? People do that. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm like, do you have relationship? Well, I don't want to live. The Bible's too, it's too strict. It's too rigid. I don't want to live that. I just want my prayers answered. It doesn't work that like that. You know, it comes, you have to, no man comes to the Father but through me. So as we talk about the battle plan for prayer, folks, the first thing we got to look at is your relationship, my relationship, before I come to the Father. What is my relationship with the Son? Have I cast his blood aside? Even as believers, we can neglect. The scriptures talk about in Hebrews, it talks about how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? Unbelievers do not have a salvation to neglect. It's talking to believers. Do you neglect the great salvation? Yes, you've accepted Christ, but how often are you praying? How are you reading your Bible? Do you take the time for it? Or is it just like if it happens, happens. If it doesn't, happens. You go into your day passively. Oh, I just didn't have time to pray. I didn't have time to read my word. So I'm just going to go, oh boy, you're going out naked. I'm telling you right now. Because that devil's got a target on your back just because you have accepted Christ. You've got a target on you. So you would be wise not to go out naked. You carve out time. You carve out time. And I'm telling you, God will help you do it. The Holy Spirit will help you do it. The enemy will fight you at first, but you just rebuke him and you go on. You carve out that time. I remember when my son was in high school, and the high school started classes early, and I mean, his bus came at 6:30 in the morning. I mean, the bus showed up at 6:30 in the morning. Sometimes the sun wasn't even up yet in the winter. So I'm like, Lord, and when they did that change, I was like, okay, how am I going to have my prayer time when I got to get Matt ready and up and on the bus by 6:30? And, you know, I just had to do it. I said, okay, I gotta get up at 4:30. And at first I was like, had a chill. Oh my God, 4:30. Jesus, 4:30. But I did it. You know, and it was hard at first. I mean, I couldn't even get on my knees and pray because I'd be fast asleep. I had to get up and walk around. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. I wanted to lean up against the wall sometimes. But after a while, oh man, I got into it. My body got used to it. You know, you have what they call a circadian rhythm in your body. Your body will get used to whatever you tell it to do. And if you tell it to get up at 4:30, it's going to be hard at first because it's adjusting. But your body will adjust to what you tell it to do. So this is an act of your will. This is not an act of, I can't do it because... No, it's an act of your will. Yes, you might have to go to bed earlier, but just go to bed earlier because this is important. This is critical, you know, that you do this. That we don't go out unarmed. We go out building that relationship with Christ and making sure that it's in place. So do you do this? So the battle plan for prayer begins with the cross. It begins there with your relationship with Christ. Okay, and that's just the cross piece. Now we're going to go to the vertical lines. So as you look on this, you know, you can see there's a vertical line on this symbol. The vertical lines in the cross, as well as above and below, reminds us to stay vertically aligned with God and his word in prayer. And this is from your book. This requires daily maintenance as the Christian relationship with Christ is always under attack. The Christian relationship with Christ is always under attack. I'm telling you that the Bible says this. The Bible says you are counted daily as sheep to be slaughtered. Read Romans 8. You are counted daily as sheep to be slaughtered. The enemy has already got a plan for you before you even get up. So you would be wise to be in prayer that day, or prayer every morning, to turn to your own way. There's an attack for you to turn to your own way, or the enemy's way is always before us. You know, it's not just Satan himself and his the hordes of hell. It is this flesh here. It is this flesh. It wants stuff. It craves stuff. Oh, man, I'm telling you, and it's before you every day. It's with you every day. Oh, boy, its feelings get hurt. Okay, this will speak out to protect this, okay? And, you know, and this don't always be thinking about Jesus. This is thinking about protecting this and protecting this, you know, and my ego and all of that. Mm-hmm. That's why you got to pray, because it is always with you. It's always before you. Your way and the enemy's way is always before you. But we must keep focus. We must keep our focus upward, the vertical upward daily. I'm about Jesus. I'm about Jesus. It's about this here. It's about the relationship. Maintenance is our responsibility. Okay. It's your responsibility to maintain your salvation. It's not anybody else's job. You know, it's not the pastor's job. It's not your mama's job. Not your daddy's job. It's not, you know, everybody else pray for me while I just do whatever I want. It's your job. Amen. To maintain your salvation. How shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation, the Bible says? Not how should your mama escape if she doesn't pay for her kids. How will your daddy escape if he doesn't pray for his kids? It says, how shall you escape if you neglect so great a salvation? That's a poignant question that you need to be asking. How am I going to escape? How am I going to make it through the day if I neglect my prayer? If I neglect reading his word, how am I going to face the day when the devil has a plan, a strategy for me today? He plans it out before you even get to where you're going. And even if you stay at home, don't think you're safe. He's got a plan for you at home. Boy, the attack can come over the telephone, over the phone that we keep with us constantly. The attack can come from so many places. So again, how will you escape? So you got to keep things in place. So daily prayer. The next point on your lesson says, remember the prayer of Christ for our relationship with him and his Father. And this is from John 17, verses 21. It says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. And that's John 17, 20 and 21. Jesus died not just for our rescue, but also to have relationship with us. Do you get that? No. He didn't die just for our salvation. He died for our relationship with him. So we have accepted him, so we got rescued, but he also died for the relationship. I know, because that's what he is saying here in this prayer. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. That's relationship right there. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. He's praying for relationship. I want them in me. I want them to be a part of the family. So we have discussed how you obtain the rescue from Christ. But what have you done with the relationship he also died for? Is the relationship sitting dormant? You know, because sometimes you can have, you know, people can be a member of your family. But you don't necessarily have a relationship with them, do you? You can have a lot of family members that you don't have a relationship with. In fact, you avoid them like the plague because you don't want relationship with them. So you can do that. You can be a part of the family, but you don't have relationship. So Jesus died for both, to make you a part of the family and to have relationship. The next point in your lesson says, from the beginning of our creation, relationship is what God has desired for us. Boy, from the beginning. Oh man, from the beginning, boy, he wanted relationship with us. You know, I've heard many people say that's why God created us in the first place, is for relationship. Because in the beginning, you know, when you put Adam and Eve in the garden, you know, they were with God. There was no reason for salvation. It was just all about relationship. In your lesson, it says in Genesis 3, 8 through 9, it says, then the man and his wife heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the breeze of the day, and they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So the Lord God called out to the man, where are you? Wow. There's so much in that those words, those three words, where are you? You know, God knew where they were physically. You know, God knows where we are on the planet. He knows where they were. He knew exactly where they were in the garden. But spiritually, he knew that they had sinned and his relationship with them had been severed. See, that's what that where are you is about. Like, why is God asking, where are you? I mean, doesn't he know? Yeah, he knew where they were physically. But spiritually, I believe he knew that they had severed their relationship with him through sin. He asked Adam, where are you? God's heart knew Adam was gone. Have you ever felt like this? I mean, we know this. As human beings, we know when a relationship has taken a turn. You know it. I mean, with us, we have to kind of talk to somebody and you see that they're acting kind of funny and kind of distant and they're kind of quiet and kind of short with you and you kind of know, okay, something's going on here. You know, why are they acting so strange? Even we know that. Oh, what do you think about the omnipotent and an omniscient God? That he's coming and I mean, I hope you can see the heartbreak in those three words. There's a heartbreak in those three words. Where are you? He knew it, but his heart was, where are you? What have you done? You listened to the lie. And now you're cut off because I'm holy. And you have embraced sin. Where are you? Spiritually. So that's sort of like you can hear God's heart breaking in that sentence. Have you ever felt like this? You know, when you discover your children have done something and you know how you raised them and you know how you poured into them and you're like, you look at them and in your heart you're saying, who are you? Yeah. Who? I mean, we're not saying, where are you? We're saying, who are you? I raised you differently. What is this? My sister, one of my sisters, she looks at me and goes, what kind of mess is this? Because she's so disgusted by what she is seeing because I know I raised you better than this. Where are you? What has happened? You know, and it usually has to do with something they've done that was so sinful that you're like, who are you? This is the same heart that you're hearing God. Where are you?
I feel like it's being withdrawn.
That your heart's being ripped. Yes, you know what I'm talking about. And they tell you things, your kids tell you, and you're like, your heart is being ripped out of your chest because you know how hard you worked and how much you prayed and how much you tried to guide them and lead them. And then they go and they do these things and you stand there and you're like, who are you? Same thing happening here in Genesis 3. God's heart being ripped out as he's understanding, as he's seeing and knowing, and he's asking Adam, where are you? God knew Adam's heart was gone. Ever since that day, though, God was working to reestablish that relationship with Adam, even at the cost of the blood of his son. Ever since that day, because he said it in Genesis, my heart will not always strive with man. He said, my heart, it won't always be like this. Even back in Genesis, he had already decided he was going to reconcile us back to himself. So again, you know, that relationship was severed, but God always was working to bring it back, even at the cost of the darling of heaven, even at the cost of the blood of his one and only son. The next point says, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who stays closer than a brother. And that's Proverbs 18:24. Yeah. God stayed with us even after we broke his heart. He remained tethered to us, sustaining us until we reached the sun. And I love that. He took care of us. He kept taking care of this old planet. He didn't say, forget them, I'm taking my atmosphere and going. He sustained us. He fed us. Generation after generation of human beings, he sustained us and he kept us until the coming of the sun. He is a friend who sticks closer than a brother, because brothers, man, you get mad at your brother, you get mad at your sister, man, they may drop you. They'll leave you alone. They may not speak to you for 10 years, honey, or more, because they're mad about something. That's why it said he sticks closer than a brother, okay? He stayed with us even after we broke his heart. The next point on our lesson says, even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Psalm 27:10. Isn't that the truth? We're talking about the vertical line. This connection is always there, always available, even when you're ignoring it, even when you're betraying it. Oh God, how, even when we're betraying it, it's still there for us to access in a moment's notice. God holds us close even as he waits for us to come to him and grow in him. He feeds us. He gives us air to breathe. He clothes us. He protects us, staying close as he waits for us. He waits for us. He waits for us. He waits for us. I know, you know, boy, I thank God for my mother's prayers, my father's prayers, you know, doing everything we knew to, big enough to do. Oh, but he waited for us. He waited for us. Many of you are praying for your children. And boy, he waits. He waits for them. He waits for them. I'll get them. I'm going after them. I'm going after them. I'll cast down every lie. I love that song. The reckless love of God. I'll break down every wall, climb up every mountain, coming after you. You know, I love that song. You know, because that's what he'll do. He'll wait for you. Oh, he'll stick closer. Your mother and your father may forsake you, but God, oh, hallelujah. The scripture says, will hold me close. Will hold me close. He's watching you. He's watching you. Even people that, unbelievers, he knows how many hairs are on their head. He knows where their lifespan is. He knows all their days. He knows. He knows all about them. He holds every human being on the planet close. There's nobody that he does not know. Everybody else may abandon you, but this is always in place. I want you to always know that. I don't care your darkest day, your hardest day, this is always there. He holds us close. Hallelujah. I just thank God for the vertical. Oh, man. Just me and God. The next point in your lesson says, when the sun finally came, he said, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not understand what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, because everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's John 15:15. Wow. Wow. After all that time and after all we did, he would still call us friends. I praise God for that. And Margaret, I know you have to go, but I'll catch you after service today, okay? We can chat, okay?
Okay, Earl.
Jesus, once again, extended the hand of relationship to humanity, calling us friends. You know, he could have called us servants. He could have called them those humans, those peons, those redeemed, those sinners that need redemption. But he called us friends. Friends. Wow. I am a friend of God. Boy, I am a friend of God. And again, this goes back to our confidence. This goes back to our boldness and all of that. It goes all the way back to that. Okay, so we'll talk after service, okay?
I can't talk after service. Just tell me over with me.
Okay, but
can I call you tomorrow?
Yes. You can call me tomorrow and we'll talk.
Okay.
So Jesus extends the hand of relationship to humanity, calling us friends. And again, you can see that piece again on relationship, how he wants relationship. He doesn't want a master servant type of thing. He wants friends.
He doesn't want to be engaged. He wants to be married.
Exactly. She talks about marriage, being married to us. I mean, everything, when you look at the word of God and you look at everything he has concerning us, I in them and they in me. It's all relationship. Marriage. Oh, I'm married. You're the bride of Christ and I'm married to you. The deepest relationship that human beings can have on planet Earth, marriage. And he wants that level of relationship with us. So you can see where Jesus wants relationship, folks. I pray you seek it. Don't just park at salvation. Go further into relationship.
When we're engaged, we don't get the benefits. After we're married, we get the benefits.
Amen. After you're married, Virginia brought out a good point. When you're engaged, you don't get the benefits. But after you're married, what's his is mine, okay? And what's mine is his. Okay. All right. We won. We're one now, okay? So that's what Jesus wanted, though. Can you see that? What's his is mine. What's mine is his. So that's what the relationship is all about. So we just praise him for that he calls us friends. The next one of your lesson is from Luke 15, 4 through 5. It says, if a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. Hallelujah. And again, that's Luke 15, 4 through 5. The one sheep who has strayed away, who has drifted, is in imminent danger of being destroyed.
Yes.
We see this in nature all the time. You see this in nature. You know, if you ever look, someone told me that when you see a herd of zebra, the reason why they have the stripes work for them, and I believe God put it there for a reason, because when they are all together in a herd, to the lion, they look like one big animal. So he won't mess with them. He won't mess with the herd. But he sees that other one drifting off. Oh, you look like one little animal there, and that's what he'll go after. And you'll see that if you ever watch the Discovery Channel, you watch how the lion hunts. He waits for the one that leaves the herd. And that's the way the enemy, because the Bible describes him as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's waiting for the one that's drifting. And boy, I'm telling you, believer, once a believer, watch out. If you're thinking about drifting, I'm telling you, because... You know, and I have to say this. I said, because believers, we got to understand this. You know, if you're thinking about drifting, keep in mind that Satan knows that you were once a believer, even if you're drifting. And he knows if you're drifting away that you might just come back because you've been there before. So you're in a dangerous position. You're in imminent danger. The one that drifts away, or the one that's on his own, he drifts away. And that's why, I love this, because that's why the Savior goes after that one. Because that one is in imminent danger of being destroyed. They are the most vulnerable. Therefore, the shepherd goes to find him. The one in the herds are the safest. They are together and they're watching each other's back. That's why we come together in services, guy. That's why we have Sunday school. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have Bible study. That's why we pray for each other so we can talk to each other and we can pray for each other and we can see each other. We can hold each other up when we are going through things, because that's the safest place to be when you're around the body of Christ. We stay together. We come together. And that's the importance. I mean, church should not be an option. It's not an option, folks. You need it. You need this. Okay, we have to stay together. We need to stay together. So we do that. The next one in your lesson says, And I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do, that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. That's John 14:13. When you have relationship, you know how to ask for things that will glorify God. Mm-hmm. When you have relationship. And you'll see more of your prayers answered. It works that way. Mm-hmm. You know, because you know how to pray now. You know, I used to, you know, people used to tell me, will you pray this, when you pray that? And I used to, oh, pray for this. Now I pray, God, let your will be done. Yes. Because I've learned that he knows more. He's got more information than I do. Yes. You know, so I said, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come. Yes. You know, you take who you take, you leave who you leave. Oh, God, let your will be done, because I know you know what's best, Lord. But I pray that you invade the situation. You know, don't let the situation just be without prayer. But I pray that you invade that situation. And, Lord, let your will be done. Let your kingdom be established in the situation. Because I've learned how to pray now. Because I don't know how to pray as I ought. I used to pray for things. Oh, Lord, let this happen. Oh, let Bill get the job, Lord. Let just Bill get that job. I don't know if God wants Bill to have that job. That job might destroy Bill. I said, Lord, let your will be done in Bill's life, Lord God. Oh, Lord, just to guide Bill in your will and in your way. You know, again, we got to learn how to pray. And then we get mad at God when he doesn't answer it. When he has said no, he answers it. Let me correct that. God answers every prayer. Sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes the answer is wait. And sometimes the answer is yes. But you got to know how to pray. You need to know how to go before the Father. When you have relationship, you know how to ask for things that will glorify God and not glorify yourself and not glorify other people. But you ask for things that will glorify God. And I'm telling you, salvation always glorifies God. So we can always pray, Lord, save them. Save them. In fact, that's the first thing I pray often for people. Save them, Lord. Save them. I know they're in the hospital. I know they're struggling, but Lord, save them. Lord, I pray, first of all, Lord, I pray that their relationship with you is right, Lord God. And Father, if you're going to intervene in these circumstances, even when they're going through sickness, Lord, intervene, Lord, bring them to you. You know, save them. Because I know that will always glorify God. And then we go from there. You know, Lord, let your will be done in their body. Lord, do what you need to do, Lord, in their body. You know, so many people have come to Christ on their sickbed. You know, they come. There's just a time when you have to, you know, you can't do anything but pray. You know, so we praise God, you know, how he intervenes and he comes for us. Because this is not it, guys. You know, we're leaving here. All of us, we're leaving here, okay? So this isn't it. So we need to learn how to pray in this temporary place. We're in the airport, okay? So stop trying to set up house in the airport. We are here temporarily. We are. I mean, seriously. I mean, we are here temporarily, and that's the way we got to pray. You know, I can't pray that I'm going to, oh, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they catch the flight. That's what I'm praying. Oh, Lord, I'm praying to catch the flight, Lord Jesus. You know, I'm praying. I'm not praying that they get a nice seat in the airport. I'm praying they catch the flight. And that's the way we need to pray for people. Lord, I know we're all leaving here. You know, as I said, every gray hair on our head is a tick, tick, tick on the clock, you know. We can diet if we want to, but that clock is still ticking. Yes. So we got to learn how to pray. We pray in such a way in which we are praying in the eternal and not in the temporal. That's the way we have to pray. Pray in the eternal and not in the temporal. So we know what to ask, and that way we glorify God. And then the next point says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, that is, if we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, that's a key part.
There it is.
Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. John 15:7. If we are vitally united and my message lives in your heart, then you can ask. Whatever you wish and it will be done for you. There it is right there.
Amen.
So that part, that relationship piece comes, that vertical piece comes out again. The next point says, this is the remarkable degree of confidence which we as believers are entitled to have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that is consistent with his plan and purpose, he hears us.
Yes.
1 John 5:14. So how do you deal with that? You ask according to his will. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. Jesus taught us that in the Lord's Prayer. Thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. That's what, on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. That's what we're praying for. And then it will be done. And then you'll see prayers answered. And you'll see what he's doing. And you'll be able to praise him and glorify God. You will know his will as you grow in relationship. How many times do you talk to the one, that the people that you love in a day? How many times do you talk to them? Your children, your spouse? How many times do you talk about? Probably multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
How many times do you talk to Jesus in a day? Morning, maybe over a meal. God's neat, let's eat. we just, you know, whatever I need. Bless me. But boy, I'm talking conversation.
Mm-hmm.
How do you talk to your kids? How do you talk to your spouse? You have conversation with them. You can have a conversation with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I know people think I'm crazy all the time because I'm always talking. They think I'm talking to myself. I'm just talking to Jesus.
Yes.
That's what I mean.
You know?
The people could come up to my door and I'm
like, yeah.
Who is she talking to?
Yeah, just talking to Jesus. And, you know, and the more you talk to him and just conversation, you'll see how he is in your life,
mm-hmm.
how he is listening. I mean, sometimes I get chills up my spine when I think about some of the things I just said that now has manifested itself in real life. That song we were playing, Standing on His Promises, standing, you know? I mean, I was in the yard yesterday, and I said, okay, Lord, this is a song for tomorrow as we start our battle plan, Standing on His Promises. And so then we're driving, Matt and I are driving into church today, and on my, I usually play the songs from my phone. I mean, I've got like 1,000 songs on my phone. And what comes up? But that song, and I said, you know what? You were listening. I got you. I know you. I got you. Yeah. And you know, and I could just feel him smiling. Like, yeah. I just wanted you to know this is a song you need to play. You know. So I just wanted you to hear it. You know, because I know it was like, of all songs, why would that song play? You know. I mean, it just. You know. I was like, Lord. I mean, and you may think, oh, that Karen, that's just coincidence. Guys, I'm telling you, this happens all the time. I'll be talking about, we'll be having a discussion in prayer, and I'm telling you, he'll manifest it. It'll come up here and there. And he said, and I say, okay, you were listening this morning, weren't you? He said, I'm always listening. That's what he tells me, I'm always listening. He said,
Pastor
in church.
Pastor Steve,
will
stay, say something, reference
that we just talked about. And you know what? We have a Sunday school prayer. Before Sunday school, we have Sunday school prayer. And another teacher was telling me the same thing. He said, I'm amazed at the things that I teach in my class. I go into service and pastor is taught, or somebody. I'm like, oh, that happens to us too. So guess what, guys? The Holy Spirit is moving all over the place.
Yes.
So, but if you pay attention, if you pay attention, when you're in prayer, your senses become more keen, your spiritual senses become more keen, and you can see God and where he's working in people's lives. Somebody will walk up to you with an issue and a problem, and the very scripture you read that morning is the Lord will say, read what you read, tell them what you read this morning. I mean, it just happens all the time. I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what we were talking about this morning, Lord. Yeah, share it. And it's right there for you to share. And it's fresh, and you can tell them not only the scripture, but the revelation that the Holy Spirit gave you with it. And I'm telling you, that relationship, you're having that relationship, and you're talking to God about everything. As I said, I used to talk, I used to look at my mom all crazy because she would be praying, over her closet and all the devil hiding her dress so she can find her church dress. I'm like, really? God has more important things to do than to help you find your dress.
But she'd find it.
And I realized as I got older, man, mom had relationship, man. Mom had relationship, man. Mama talked to God all the time, man. I mean, she would, and she's one of those saints on knees, man. There's this blue chair that she has, and she had when we were kids. And boy, she would always be kneeling in that blue chair in the living room, and I would see her whole knees were all calloused because of all the praying that she did. There were seven of us, so man, she prayed for us hard, and my dad was taken years before, and boy, mama would be praying for all of us. And I went home last summer, and Mom still has that blue chair. And I remember that I was looking at that blue chair, and I was like, Lord, I appreciate that blue chair. I didn't realize how much prayer went into that blue chair. And I told her, I said, Mom, if you ever think to get rid of that blue chair, you call me up. I'm going to ship it to Colorado. I'm bringing that chair to Colorado. We're not ever getting rid of that blue chair. It's all tattered and worn. But I'm like, I'll buy a cover for it, Mama. Just don't get rid of the blue chair, because of all the prayer. And she had that thing going on with God that was just so amazing, and I didn't get it. I thought it was just, Mom just being mom. And she, how we think of our parents. Oh, boy, here they go talking about Jesus again, But now I get it. I get it. Now my daughter does the same thing. Oh, here she goes. She's going to talk about Jesus.
Yep.
But I get it now. I get it now. And I pray that someday she gets it. I pray someday that she gets it too. That one day she'll get why mom talked about Jesus so much, because she had that relationship with him, and she talked to him all day. And I'm understanding the scripture now that says pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Now I get it now. Amen. Because that's what he calls us, that's what he wants, always to have access to our heart, that he can just drop things in at a second's notice and say, go do that. And sometimes he'll just say the most wonderful things. I love you, I got you. Don't worry. I know you're going in that meeting. I'm going in there. In fact, I've been in there before you.
Yes.
I've been in there already. So you just walk on in and you just go through the motions, because I've been in there already. And I've, swept all those demons out of there. Oh, that's what Jesus will do for you guys. You don't have to be afraid for everything. I just love that quote. And I think, Rita, you have it on your Bible. She who bows before.
Mm-hmm. She who kneels before God can stand before anyone.
I love that. She who kneels before God can stand before anyone. And it's he who kneels before God can stand before anyone. And that's absolutely true. So any comments?
About that song, Dark River Seas, thank God for unanswered prayers.
Yes.
And how, when you were talking, because I just think, how many times do we thank him for unanswered prayers, and it always turns out better his way.
Absolutely.
Or especially for friends.
Yes.
And they ask me to pray for him, and I think his answer is always better.
His answer is always better.
So it's so good to say, not my will, but yours be done.
Your will be done. Amen. And I trust you in it. I trust you in the answer, even when it hurts me, because sometimes those answers, Lord, what? Trust him. trust him. He is a God of the eternal.
Yes.
Well, I started saying, well, let's pray now. Let's pray together now.
Yes.
You know, because they always say, pray for me. And I say, well, let's pray now. You know?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And get them involved.
Amen. Absolutely. I pray that they pray. I pray you pray.
Yeah.
Because we all need
so
this.
Let them know how powerful the prayer can be. But not
amen.
That all my prayers get answered, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't. I mean, I'm sure, but they seem like they do for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Anyway.
Well, they know you have relationship.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, as I said, sometimes people, they don't serve God and have not accepted Christ, and they're coming around. Would you pray? Well, then that's right.
Or,
yeah, and they're appropriate.
Because
you can access God. That's
but I just started doing that. Thinking, yes. Okay, let's pray now. You know, so.
There's a reason why people come to you.
Yeah.
You know, because they know you got relationship. You know, and that's why they'll come to you, because they know you got relationship.
Right.
Matt, we're listening to this, and I was remembering the news where the truck driver hit all his cars up here in Denver, and they interviewed that homeless man. It was so neat what he said, because he was homeless, happened to be underneath the bridge, and he ran towards them. And he says, as he was running towards them for help, people were running the opposite direction.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, you know, God put him there to help those that were in need down there.
Yes.
And he was without anything, and yet he gave his life to go save, and the other one, people were running the opposite direction. I thought, oh, my God,
how
that was.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Wow, you just never know where the servants of God are going to be.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Man.
Yeah. Wow. Anybody else have a comment? Okay.
We're so quiet.
So.
I just wanted to say this scripture that you read, Darren, but I have called you friends because everything I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. He's made it known to us through his word.
Yes.
Like you say, when we pray and we ask according to his word, he hears us and he answers those prayers. That's awesome how you said that.
Yeah.
He would be glorified, and to pray his kingdom come, his will be done.
Yes.
Also, Romans, where it talks about renewing our mind, then we will know the perfect will of God.
Yes.
That way, when our mind is being renewed by his word.
Yes.
Every time we hear his word, every time we act upon his word, every time we speak his word, something's happening.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it may not happen, as I said, it may not happen the way you think. And the way, that's why I stopped praying specifically, because it may not always happen. The only thing I pray specifically for is salvation. Because his word says, it's not his will that any should perish, but all should come in repentance, to repentance. So that I pray specifically. But everything else, I'm like, Lord, let your will be done. And when you see it unfold, like, oh man, you know, Lord, I prayed about the situation, but look at what you did. Look at what you did. This one came. That one was one. That one was taken care of. This happened because we allow him to do his will. Anybody else?
We were just talking this morning before the scripture, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Yes.
And we narrowed it down to don't be stupid or you're going to die.
Yes. Absolutely true. Absolutely true.
That's
her word.
That's Sesame Street.
Yeah, Sesame Street. Don't be stupid or you'll die. Absolutely true. Okay, so we're going to pray. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and your mercy and your kindness, Lord God. We thank you, oh God, because we have the privilege of prayer. Lord, we thank you because we can come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace and find help in the time of need. Lord God, I thank you again for this vertical relationship, Lord God, that never leaves us. Oh God, that never forsakes us, Lord God. Even when we are unfaithful, you remain faithful. Oh Lord, because you cannot deny yourself, Lord God. So we thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you that you loved us and you stayed close even when we didn't understand, even when we were running from you, even when we were betraying you, Lord God. You stayed close, Lord. And we thank you for it today, Lord. We thank you for all your goodness, all your mercy. Lord, I pray you would help us, Lord God. Even this week, I pray for every person in this room, that relationship would spring forth in our lives even more, Lord God. Yes. Let our relationship with you grow and grow and grow even the more, Lord God. Oh, Father, we just want to be ready for battle, Lord God. And we know that the foundation of that is that we have to have relationship with you, Lord. So help us, Lord. Wake us up, Lord God. Help us to move in your word, in your spirit, Lord. Give us revelation knowledge, Lord. Holy Spirit, come close. Whisper in our ear, Holy Spirit. And let us be immediately obedient to your word. I thank you, Lord God. Let us know how much you love us, Lord God. We live in a world where love is hard. And love is hard to find, Lord. Not true love, but Lord, you have the love. So, Lord, I pray that you would impress upon us how much you love us, Lord God, so that we would let down our guards and we would trust you, Lord. We would trust you with our lives. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.